All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, April 9th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have some really big slates today. We have an 11-game MLB slate. We have an 11-game NBA slate. And we have a 13-game NHL slate. And if you haven't seen them yet, our golf projections for the Masters are up officially as of earlier today. So hop in the app and check those out. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. Before we jump into our regularly scheduled office hours, wanted to remind you guys once again of our new promotion, the Birdie Battle, with the grand prize being two tickets to next year's Masters. So check out the page here. I'm going to drop a link to it in the chat and make sure to get entered into the contest before it fills, right? And make sure to submit your entry here. So go to our rules, check out the rules section of this page. You know, have an active SaberSim subscription. Our 20 max on the PGA main slate each week starting this week. So check that out. If you guys have questions, you can always send us an email, support@sabersim.com, and we'd be happy to answer your questions. And then we just had a video go live earlier today. So first off, we have a video describing the Birdie Battle. If you have more questions, want to get more details on it, check out this 5-minute video. And then Jordan released his guide to the Masters tournament for this upcoming year earlier today. 2 hours ago, this video went live, 2024 Masters tournament, top four PGA DFS winning strategies. So tune in and check out that video. All right. With that said, we're going to get SaberSim pulled up here and we are going to jump into our questions here. So let me get SaberSim up. Looks like our first question came in from Zachary. And really quickly here from Quickshade, he said, would like to be able to name each build if that's something simple to add. You could do that. So, you know, when you click the plus, it'll say like build 2, build 3, build 4. You can just right click on it. And then it'll say rename, and then you can rename the build to whatever you want. So in case you weren't aware of that functionality, just right-click on the build name, and then you have the ability to rename the build however you see fit. All right. First question here from Zachary. When maxing 150 entry and multiple 20 entry contests, am I hurting myself by doing just one run and using 190 lineups? Should I generate 150 and 20 separately? Good question here. So what I would recommend is building them together here, especially these types of contests, right? So like, you know, in our contest backtesting, it shows that 20 max and 150 max play very similarly. So I'd be really comfortable building them together. You know, the only time I would consider building them separately, if you're doing like single entry and 150 max, you know, those are going to play like really different. So I would, you know, our DFS profit plan says to build your single entries and 3 maxes in one build, your 20 max and 150 max in another build. So as long as you're like separating those two, I think it's fine. The only time I think it's okay to even build all those together is like probably NBA, just because NBA is a monster with news. But like for golf, for MLB, you know, for NHL, you should have ample time to run two separate builds and get those in. All right. Next question. I use custom projections. So when I go to do contest review, I feel that the sim ROI is off because it uses SaberSim's projections instead. Are there plans to be able to incorporate outside projections for review and slash, or are there ways to get around that? So good question. So right now there are not ways to get around that. And I don't know exactly how or if the team is doing that right now. So first of all, you're right. You know, if I go to, you know, yesterday's MLB slate and, you know, you go into like the post-contest sims. So one thing to always remember is that the post-contest sims are using SaberSims projections when looking at the ROIs. The reason I don't think it's a huge deal for the main, you know, flagship GPP of the night. You know, I think there's going to be plenty of names here that, one, aren't even SaberSim, you know, users and still grade out well, right? So you got to take the results with, like, a little bit of a grain of salt, understanding what sims you're using. But, like, just like in this list, you know, within, like, the top 10 users here, you know, I see at least two people from Stochastic, right? 1-800-Eddie and DeColtz, both known Stochastic employees here. And then they're both grading out with a positive 22% sim ROI. Now you can look up here, you know, and see, you know, Shady Advice at like 47%. And he's like a known SaberSim user, you know. You see Kurt here, right? OCDOBV. So like, you know, Kurt, a SaberSim user, has like 25% ROI. You still see the Stochastic guys coming in at 22%. All that to say, you know, I don't think that the projections skew the sim ROI that significantly. I think that if you are a good player, if you are putting in good lineups, if you're using a set of projections that is, you know, solid, even if it has some minor differences, you're still going to see good results here, even if you're not using SaberSim. So those are my thoughts on it. You know, right now, I don't know if there's any plans to try and figure out how to include custom projections into the post contest sim. So that's all I know at the moment. I tend to run my 150 and 20 max contest as one build. That said, when using contest sims, should I run them separately, or is it okay to use the 150 sim for the entire build? You know, we make this like really easy to do. So I'm not going to say like, hey, you know, it's fine to use one. You know, I think this goes back to like the time situation, like how much time do you have to do separate things here? So like if you're building lineups, right? And actually let's jump over to golf, cause I think I already built some lineups over there. So if I go to golf, I got some lineups up, you know, I'm going to go and like grab a couple contest sims here. So, you know, I'm just going to take like two contest sims, right? Very, very different. And I'm going to go to my contest sim settings. Okay, I have two contests. So, you know, when in your contest sim settings, you can have up to 10 contest sims at a time. Well, when you run them, you're running them all together. So when I click the run contest sim button, it's going to run as many contest sims as you have simultaneously. So it's not adding a ton of time to come in here and set up multiple contest sims and run them. So if you have like 150 max and a 20 max, I would just run both contest sims, right? And then when you do that, you know, the standard practice here is like to come into your sorting metrics, switch to a single contest, right? Switch to your risk adjusted ROI. And then switch to your next contest sim and then fill the lineups for that contest sim next. And then if you have more contests, continue and continue and continue. So I think it's like fairly easy if you're playing like NHL, MLB, golf, you know, MMA, sports like that, to set up multiple contest sims and use the individual contest sims. The only time I would say that could be a burden is in a sport like NBA. All right. Good question so far. It's our last question in the Discord. Question says, I have a set of projections that has been getting pretty flashback as I've been tracking slash comparing. Would this be due to producing more contrarian lineups that hit less often but profit a lot when they do? Or does this suggest they aren't great projections to begin with? Or would you say the sample is too small to draw conclusions yet on the early season? Curious how to think about pre-lock ROI versus flashback results. Okay, so So this is kind of, you know, going back to the question earlier, a little bit of like a theme today. So the post contest sims are going to use the Saber Sim projections when doing the post lock analysis. That being said, you know, we saw that, you know, even people using different sets of projections are still grading out well in the sims. So I think if your projections are decent, I think if your process is good, you're still going to grade out well in the sims. You might not grade out the best if you were using contest sims that were specific to your set of projections, but I think that it'll show that you're still on the right track there. Now, if you're grading out, you know, really highly in the pre-contest, then, you know, it's important to understand the differences between the pre-contest sim and the post-contest sim. So two big differences. Number one is that your lineups get put into this hypothetical contest one at a time, right? So your lineups are not fighting each other, right? They're all going in individually. Now, the other thing here is that depending on the size of your contest, you know, the contest sim only has so many field lineups. So we have 10,000 field lineups for, you know, your particular sport, right? Well, when the contest is bigger than that, we're only running the contest as if it has, you know, 10,001 entries. So the 10,000 field plus your one lineup, right? Now the Golf Millie Maker this week, you know, the big 4 million prize pool has like 470,000 entries, right? So that is like a massive, massive number bigger. So, you know, I say that to say that when we run the post contest sim, we are using the actual lineups from the contest. And not only that, we are looking at you on like a portfolio basis. We are taking your set of lineups as a whole and providing a sim ROI as opposed to doing it on a lineup by lineup basis here, right? So those are like two really big things to consider when comparing, you know, pre-contest to post-contest. I would basically always say that the post-contest is going to be more accurate or give you more actionable information about things that you can change going forward with your process. All right. Looks like Quickshade liked that ability to rename your build. Glad you were able to glad you asked the question. You know what I mean? It was a quick fix. Glad you're able to, you know, I'm sure that'll make your process a little bit easier going forward. All right. Michael said, what are some pointers or things to look at if I continue to be negative ROI for MLB? I do minor changes, past build, post build, mini uniques, not all in on one player. Yeah. So if you're grading out, you know, poorly in the post contest sim, honestly, you know, the best thing to do is go and compare your lineups to players that are grading out well. And I would do this in two ways. One, I would look at the contest you're playing and look at who's grading out the highest in the contest that you're playing. And then two is go and look at the best players in the DFS lobby who are maxing out the biggest contest and see what they're doing compared to what you're doing, right? So I would go to the flagship contest. I would go to users. I would enter a filter for the max number of entries. And then I would look at highest sim ROIs, right? And then what I would do here is you could filter for a player and it's like, okay, I want to go look at what Shady Advice is doing. Why is he grading out so well? Well, what are the stacks that he's using? Oh, okay, he used, you know, 96% five stacks on the main slate yesterday. Okay, what teams did he stack? Oh, okay, you know, he's pretty flat. No team more than 25%. You know, what pitchers did he use? And like, if you played the slate, you're going to understand some more of like the slate context type of things. Like, oh, was this a Coors slate? Who was the chalk? You know, how did I play the chalk? How did he play the chalk? Where did he get different? And you're going to, you know, start asking yourself these questions and you're going to get some information about like, oh, okay, so this is how, you know, one of the best players in the lobby is handling X situation. Maybe I can, you know, remember that, write it down, make some notes, and or just make a mental note and you know, remember that in the future, and you start to build up your experience and your knowledge base, right? So, you know, you can look at the contest that you're playing and see how the players doing well in those contests are doing, and then look at the best players in the lobby. And then when you do those two things, you're going to learn things about what you may be doing wrong, and then that's going to allow you to start to increase your own sim ROI. So I would take some time and do that and see, you know, what's going on there. You know, even looking at like the user screen, like, okay, you know, how many lineups are unique? what is like the sim average score? Like even some of those things can be, you know, really insightful. So be on the lookout for those type of things. All right. Question here from Sammy. Sammy said, what's the discrepancy of using my own versus adjusted ownership? Good question. So adjusted ownership is a metric that we created. It's an in-house metric. Basically, what it's doing is it is looking at a player's ownership, and then it is looking at a player's range of outcomes, and then it's saying, hey, do we believe that this player deserves, you know, this level of ownership? And then if the answer is yes, then the adjusted ownership will be near even or even less than the ownership. But if we think that, hey, this player is like pretty risky, well, then their adjusted ownership will typically be higher than their projected ownership. And the reason for that is because we are negatively weighting adjusted ownership in our Saber score formula. So for riskier players, they're going to get like taxed more in that Saber score formula. So those are the differences there. You know, we do have documentation in our support docs related to adjusted ownership here. And I can just drop that here in the YouTube chat for you guys so you can check it out. Or you asked in Discord, so I will drop it to you there. So let me just grab that really quickly here. Adjusted ownership. I'll drop it in the YouTube chat for anybody listening who wants to check that out. And then I will drop that directly to Sammy. And then a follow-up. When doing aggregate, does that use my ownership or adjusted ownership? If you're aggregating ownership in the app here, like you go to my own, and then you go to like, you know, average. The easiest way to see is just, you know, go to weighted average. And then you're going to see that it is taking the average of all of the buckets of ownership here. And none of these are the adjusted ownership. So these are just the 13 buckets of projected contest ownership that we have. So adjusted ownership is not part of that formula. All right. Quickshade, little feedback. So that's credible info. Things like this is what determines successful SaberSim users. That's the point of this show. So thank you, man. Trying to, you know, help you guys out as much as possible. Help you guys become better DFS players. But with that said, it looks like we're all caught up with questions here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our Wednesday show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.